We are flying high coming off of the National Convention. It was a really fantastic weekend. That's the third National Convention that NAA has sponsored, and they really do get better every year. And I think here in the FITS group, we just left after the weekend feeling really proud of just all the representatives that we had up on stage this week. How many people like Ralph and the Wallaces and Paul Roberts and Jim Richter and Besner, who earned income rings this year. And we were just really proud of those individuals and excited to see them having success. And if you were around this weekend, you also noticed that our guests this morning got a lot of mic time because of the success they've had this year. What really made them unique this year at the convention was that Robert Wallace and Michelle Wallace, married couple, both individually earned their $100,000 income ring. So that made them very unique, which isn't the only thing that makes them unique, but definitely made them stand out for their performance. They're both very solid personal producers. They're building a team faster than I think I've seen done in a long time, and we're real excited about their involvement here with us. They're just quality people with integrity and character, and we really are excited about partnering with them and aligning with them here at the FITS Group and with NAA. So with that, I'm going to just go ahead this morning. Oh, let me say, normally we do recognition, and unfortunately with FITS out of town and with us heading into the weekend last weekend, he just didn't get the numbers updated in time for us to be able to announce them this week. So stay tuned next week. We'll make a big deal. We'll be sure we cover everything. We'll probably be going over January's numbers next week. So be sure to tune in, and we'll recognize all those that are due some recognition. But with that, I want to we're just going to hand it right over this morning and allow these two powerful players to impact you this morning and, if possible, fire you up even more and get you ready for 2006. So with that, Robert and Michelle, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Thank you very much. We're humbled to be asked to talk to the group this morning. You know, I think it would be easier to talk to other people's groups, you know, that we don't know. But, you know, the FITS group, Simpson group, all the groups that we're associated with are packed with so many powerhouses that sometimes Michelle and I sit back and wonder why. You know, why does anybody want to hear what we have to say? Because, you know, we just feel like we're part of a team, part of a larger team that really is capable of doing a lot of things. And, you know, Michelle and I kind of labored over what to talk about this morning. And we kind of arrived at, instead of trying to give you a script, which we've given 100 times before, instead of trying to tell you what we say in the house, which, you know, they're all on MP3s, we wanted to try to make a deposit in each and every one of you and give you an insight into something that I think is really the key to our success, the key to, you know, writing $100,000 in a month or $50,000 in a weekend or, you know, frankly, $20,000 in a weekend, guys. $10,000 in a weekend. You know, we get enamored by these large numbers, which are great, and I want everyone to aspire to hit those numbers and go beyond those numbers, because there's a mark, it's a benchmark. It's like, you know, someone running a 4-minute mile. Everyone said it was impossible till it was done. Now people do it all the time. But guys, you know, it's your attitude that determines your altitude. You know, I know it sounds a little cliche, but it's so very true. Your attitude determines everything about where you are and where you're going and how you're going to get there. You know, we all have to begin taking responsibility for ourselves and not saying, well, my manager's not teaching me this, or my manager's not teaching me that, or if I was only on Ralph Simpson's team, or if I could go, you know, if I could just go and sit next to Fitz and Heather for an hour. Guys, we have to dig down deep within and bring those things that are inside of us out, because each and every one of us is unique. So Michelle and I are going to kind of go over some things, just some principles that have lended to our success. And we're going to quote some different people throughout the call. You know, we like to read, but I'll be honest with you, we're not going to ever be one of those people that are up on stage telling you that we read 20 books in a year's time. We read snippets. We listen to a lot of leaders. We listen to a lot of successful people on CD and on different training things. People like John Maxwell, Ken Blanchard. One of my favorite people to talk about success was Vince Lombardi. He was a football coach, but a lot of people would not believe just how smart and how intense this man was. So we're going to talk about a few things that may be a little different. I hope you guys have pen and paper. Bruno is recording the call, so you'll be able to get it. But guys, I'm a firm believer. I know that the way that I remember things is to hear it, but also to write it down. Because if I write it down, you know, I'm going to remember probably 50% more than if I just listen. Okay? And then by getting the MP3 from Bruno and listening to it over and over and over, guys, you'll begin to change you. And that's what I think the theme of this, even the weekend at this conference was change. So one of the first things that I want to kind of talk about, Michelle, and I want to talk about is your intensity level. You know, with intensity, there's only one way that you're going to succeed with anything, and that's to give it everything. Everything that you do, everything that you think about, the people that are around you, you have to demand from them that everybody gives it everything. You have to be intense at this job. You can't just go about what we do lackadaisical. Well, I'll get to those phone calls. You know, I'm going out of town this weekend, and, you know, we're building an agency. We have one person that works with us, but we have over 60 people in our agency bringing business in and out of our office house. As my daughter calls it, it's not a house. It's an office with bedrooms right now. But, guys, Michelle and I are very intense with everything that we do. We demand it of each other. We demand it of Michelle that works for us. And last night, Michelle was setting appointments for me. Our 16-year-old daughter got on the phone. She said she wanted to make some money, so I told her I'd pay her to set appointments. And, you know, in the past, she's gone at it kind of lackadaisical, but she wants to go out of town next week on a debate tournament, and she knows that if she wants more money than what I intend to give her, she's going to have to earn it. So she got on the phone and in 1 hour's time set 9 appointments for me out of town because she's heard us do it 100 times. She knew how to do it, but the intensity level was there because she had a desire to do something. And, you know, it lends to something that Vince Lombardi said, that if you aren't fired with enthusiasm, guys, you'll be fired with enthusiasm. And that's one of the things that always stayed with me. You know, if you don't get up every day, you know, you don't have a boss, per se, that can fire you or hire you or give you a performance appraisal. But if every day you don't wake up with intensity about what you do, getting on the phone with that intensity, getting in front of your clients with that intensity, you'll be fired to a degree by those clients. If you're a leader, you'll be fired by the agents that are looking to you for enthusiasm and leadership. So you have to get up every day, and you have to work hard, you have to play hard, you have to have relationships with intensity if you want people to follow you. The next thing that I kind of want to move to, and honey, just stop me when you want to stop me. The next thing that I kind of want to move on to is just talking about success. You know, there's a lot of us that have come from different backgrounds, and I'm not being critical, but I'm just going to be real. Some of us have come from backgrounds where we've sold health insurance, or we're still selling health insurance, or we're doing mortgages, or we're doing real estate, or we're doing, you know, I've got a jet washing business where I do sidewalks, or I've got this business, or I've got that business. Success demands a singleness of purpose. Success demands singleness of purpose. You cannot serve two masters. I was telling somebody yesterday, you can't be married to two men or two women. You can't drive two cars at the same time. You can't physically live in two houses at the same time. To that same end, I know that's kind of a silly example, but if you intend to be successful at this business, you have to be single in your purpose. You have to burn the bridges or put things on the back burner and devote 100% of your attention and intensity to this business if you want the level of success that people have told us they want. You don't write $100,000 a month in premium here if you're seeing clients or people for other things there. It's a Monday through Sunday, 24/7, 365 mentality. Okay, mental toughness is the key to your success. You're never going to win a game. You're never going to get, you know, walk out of 20 appointments with 20 closes. You're not ever going to do anything unless you beat that person that's in front of you. You know, Vince Lombardi said that. He said the score on the board doesn't mean a thing. That's for the fans. Okay? The $100,000 that I wrote was great. That's for the fans. Okay? That's for everybody that wanted to watch it get done. But if I want to win, if I want to win, if I want to be number one, then I have to go after what my mentor, Ralph Simpson, has done. And I have to achieve what he has done and go beyond that if I want to be number one. I'm not going to be number one at his expense, but I'm going to use everything that he's teaching me. I'm going to use everything that he does in front of me because he set the bar. He's out there. He set the pace for us to run after, and we're chasing it. I mean, Alex made $2 million this year, guys. Ralph, they recognized him for a little over a million, but Ralph made $2 million. Ralph told him, he said, I want you to recognize me for whatever I've made after you back out all my lead bill and all of my expenses that I had to NAA for websites and everything. And even after backing out all of his expenses, they recognized him for $1 million that he could have written a check for net, how much money he kept. Now, you talk about mental toughness. Think about that. The guy put it on the line after everything that they've seen. They could have recognized him for $500,000 if he had controlled his expenses. But even after that, having made just short of $2 million in income, he still walked away with a $1 million ring. So if I want to be number one, I've got to win the war with the man that's in front of me. The man that's in front of me isn't Ralph, it's the man in the mirror. I've got to win it against me. I've got to get my man every day, and that man is me. I've got to break through those things mentally every day and say, you know what? Yes, I'm tired. I went to bed at 3 o'clock last night. It's 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the morning. My kids need me. At 7 o'clock in the morning, I got an agent calling me. I had an agent calling me on my phone starting at 6:30 this morning, folks. It would have been easy for me not to answer that call. But I'm going to tell you, you've got to get up. You've got to defeat the man that's in the mirror because that's who the battle is with you, okay? The next thing I'm going to talk about, folks, is something that's huge, and it's sacrifice, okay? To achieve success, whatever you're doing, whatever the job, you have to pay a price. Success comes at a price. It doesn't just happen to you. It's not the lottery, guys. Even the lottery comes at a price. People spend thousands of dollars, wasting thousands of dollars buying lottery tickets day in and day out with the hope and the dream of a chance at having money, okay? Every single day with the hope and the dream of making $1 million or $100,000 so they can pay their bills. Guys, we have a lottery. We have lottery tickets that come in every Monday morning or every Monday, and they get distributed out to you. They're called leads. It costs $20 a ticket. And you know what? And with the hope and the dream of success, all you get to do is pick up the phone and call that client. And 8 out of 10 times, if you say it right, do it right with that level of intensity, that level of focus, success-minded and success-minded principles and belief in your heart, your lottery tickets will pay off. You pay $20 for a lead, you end up getting a check for $1,000. I like those odds much better. Okay? Success is like anything else that's worthwhile. Like I said, it has a price. You have to pay the price if you want to win, and you have to pay the price to get wherever it is that you want to go. Okay? But here's the big thing, guys. You don't just pay it to get there. Here's the biggest and most important part. You have to pay the price to stay there. Guys, we saw people go across the stage last year when I got fired up listening to Casey talk about getting his GED. There were people last year that went across that stage being recognized for over, you know, $100,000 that weren't even in the room this year. They didn't go up on stage. They weren't in the room. They weren't at the convention because they didn't pay the price to stay where they were. There's a guy that was the number one producer in NAA for 2 years in a row. Last year was his second year. He was where Lisa Halomo is this year. He's not even at the convention this year, guys, because he didn't pay the price to stay where he was. Okay? So sacrifice is key. We told our children when we started this business that there were going to be some sacrifices in time for 1 year. But if they would give us that sacrifice for 1 year, if they could give here and there for us to be on the road a lot, that financially we would be light years ahead. Guys, they've helped make that sacrifice to the point that they help even set appointments. So you have to be willing to sacrifice, and everyone around you has to understand that and be willing to do the same thing. So if you've got a wife or a husband, or you live with a family member or a roommate, somebody that's depending upon you, you need to sit down and have a very mature discussion with them and let them know what your goals are and let them know that there's going to have to be some sacrifices if you're going to make it. Whether it's them helping you with appointments or helping you with your pending or whatever it is that you need so that you can stay focused and get out there, everyone in your life is going to make a sacrifice if you're going to be successful here. Okay? The next thing we're going to talk about is belief. You have to believe in yourself. You know, a lot of you come up to Michelle and I, it's just like Andy Albright. Somebody said something, you know, Andy Albright said something on the stage whenever everybody was asking us about, you know, how it is that we go into appointments. And, you know, you guys just sound like you're, you know, like you just know that it's going to happen. It's because we do. That's what we believe. Confidence is contagious. So is a lack of confidence. And, guys, I'm going to tell you what, your customer will recognize both. If you're confident, your clients are going to do business with you. You'll find that they will be writing a check, and they're going to ask you, who do I make this check out to? Because you haven't even talked about a company. At the same time, if you're using the company and using other things as your crutches, they're going to recognize that, and they're going to tell you, we need to think about it. If you believe in yourself and you have the courage, the determination, the dedication, the drive inside of you, if you're willing to make sacrifices on the little things in life and pay the price for the things that are worthwhile, guys, you will be successful. If you don't believe in yourself and make a total commitment to this business, put everything that you have into it, in your mind, your body, your heart, life isn't even worth it. If you're not willing to do it, life isn't worth it if you're not willing to pay the price. Okay? So, you know, that's what you've got to do, guys. You've got to make that sacrifice. Okay? You've got to believe in yourself. The next thing I want to talk about is commitment. Okay? The quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence, regardless of their chosen field of endeavor. My favorite football coach, Vince Lombardi, said that. The quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence, regardless of what you choose to do, whether you're a football player, a salesman, a janitor, a teacher, or a CEO. If you are not willing to pay the prices and be committed to excellence, you're never going to make it, okay? It's not whether you get knocked down, guys. It's whether you get back up. We all get knocked down. We all have our challenges. We all have family issues. You know, we have strained relationships from time to time. There's times, folks, where, you know, your manager may not be giving you the calls or giving you the time that you think that you deserve. Because you got to remember, there's more of you than there is your manager. So some of this you've got to put on your shoulders and be willing to get back up when you get knocked down. Okay? It's whether you get up when you get knocked down, not whether you get knocked down. Okay? Let's talk about character for a second. Okay? It's essential to understand that every day there's a battle in your heart. Okay? Whether or not to get out of bed, whether or not to get on the phone and set those appointments, whether or not to go and drive, you know, 3 hours one way for one appointment because you're afraid that they might not show up. Guys, if you don't win that battle in your heart every day, you're not going to be successful. You got to get behind the wheel and go see your clients, okay? You've got to get out and you got to do that no matter what's going on in front of you, you know? You think about Abraham Lincoln. You know, I don't know if you know the story about Abraham Lincoln. If you don't, I'm not going to go into it in detail. But Abraham Lincoln tried at many things and failed at many things before he became the president of the United States. He didn't lead a charmed life. You know, the guy lost several elections to be, I think it was senator or governor. He failed in business. The guy was a failure. If you look at it on paper, I could read it to you, and I could tell you some things. And if I didn't say the name and didn't say that he became president of the United States, you would be like, I don't want to follow that guy. But Abraham Lincoln failed in almost everything he did. But everything he did was not a failure, guys. It made him a success. At the same time, if you go and read the life that Adolf Hitler had, he'll sound as though he was somebody you would all want to follow. But we all know that he was insane, that he was a bigot. He hated people. He wanted to exterminate human beings, guys. But if you read about his accomplishments, you read about the things he did, he was never a failure until he became so consumed in himself the people didn't matter. He's a deceiver. Vince Lombardi said, in great attempts, it's even glorious, even to fail. Guys, I've failed at many things. Many things. But I'll tell you this. Every failure that I've ever experienced in my life made me who I am today. It propelled Michelle and I everywhere. It propelled us to where we are today. It propelled us and gave us the desire to lead a team of people to something greater. And that's the thing I want to talk about next. If you aspire to build a team, if you are a manager, whether you're brand new or if you've been here for 7 years, leadership rests not only on your ability, not only on your capacity. Having the capacity to lead is not enough. A leader must be willing to use it. His leadership is then based on truth. It's based on character. You have to have truth in purpose and willpower in your character if you want to be a leader. Because people don't want to follow someone that's a liar. You know, you've all heard it before. People believe everything that you do and not necessarily everything that you say. You know, Ralph Simpson always has told Michelle and I to lead from the front, lead from the front, lead from the front. That doesn't just mean be the top personal producer. That doesn't just mean go out and make a bunch of money. It means have integrity. You give somebody your word, whether it's us giving our team our word or whether it's our team giving us their word, you follow through. Guys, I don't think there's anybody on this call that can say that they've ever asked Michelle and I for anything. I don't care how insignificant or how great. If we told you we would do it, you could take that check to the bank. You got to have integrity. You got to be truthful. You have to have willpower and your purpose if you're going to be a leader. Leadership's based on spiritual quality. It's the power to inspire. It's the power to get people to want to follow you. Okay? Leaders are made, guys. I don't care what anybody tells you. A leader is made. A leader is not born. They are not born. Anyone that tells you a leader is born is lying to you. A leader is made by hard work, by paying the price, which everybody's going to have to pay if they're going to achieve anything. A leader has to identify himself with a group. If you don't have a group of people following you, guys, you're not a leader. Okay? You got to identify yourself with a group, and you have to back up the group, not be backed up by the group. And sometimes that might mean that you even might make somebody that's your leader unhappy with you. Okay? But you have to believe in the group. You have to believe that the group wants from you a sense of approval. If that feeling is prevalent in everything you do, your production, your discipline, then your morale is going to be in, your morale will be high, and in return, your team's morale will be high, and then you can demand cooperation to promote your goals. You pour into your team. You pour into those people around you. You deposit something in them every day, not just leads. You're there for them with motivation. When they're on the road, you're calling them so that when they're having a rough day, when they're having a rough go of it on the road, they know they're not out there alone. You know, I kind of think about it sometimes like a scout, you know, that's out there on the far, far fringes that goes ahead of the troops to find out if it's safe to go or where the enemy is so we know how to attack that enemy, you know. If we don't let that guy know that we have the utmost trust and faith and confidence in his ability to come back and give us, you know, the best information, the top report, guys, that guy might get killed by the enemy. Same thing is out there. If you're a leader and you're sending people out to travel, guys, you've got to remember they're out there and not forget about them and throw them to the wolves. Because it's hard, especially if it's a newer person. So you be there for your teams if you want your team to be there for you. Okay? For everybody that's a producer, they've asked, guys, how did you do it? How do you go out and write $20,000 in 2 days? How do you go out and write $50,000 in 2.5 days? Guys, it's called preparation. The harder you're going to work, the harder it is to surrender. Okay? You've got to be prepared to everything. You know, Vince Lombardi said they call it coaching, but it is teaching. You do not just tell them. You show them the reason. Guys, if you're out there leading the team, if you're out there producing with your customers, you don't tell them this is what it is. You don't tell them this is what you need. You show them this is what it is and this is what you need and these are the reasons why. Okay? So you've got to do that. If you're a leader, establish goals and make sure that you first are willing to pay the price and ignore the minor pains that go along with it, that come along with the temporary setbacks and temporary failures. But if you'll do that, you'll be prepared, your team will be prepared, and your organizations will explode. Okay? People talk about, you know, how do you write $100,000 a month? Guys, it's desire. You know, Jason Bruno reminded me when I wrote the $52,000, and he reminded Fitz, and he told Ralph, he told everybody, you know, there were some people in the organization that were like, man, I can't believe he did it. You know, and again, this goes back to what I was talking to you guys about a minute ago, about your word being your bond, and about somebody, if you say something's going to happen, people can take that to the bank. Jason Bruno reminded me, and he said that he wasn't even surprised that I wrote the 52,000. Because he said that back in May, when I first got started, when I got my license, was getting ready to go out, I think Cornell Anderson, he was last May, Cornell Anderson went out and wrote like $42,000 or $48,000 in production. I mean, and it was incredible. He did it in a weekend, guys. And it was incredible. But I had a conversation with Jason and some other people, some other managers, and I said, you know what, I'm going to be the first person to write over $50,000 in a weekend. I mean, this is when we were watching Chris White write $70,000 in a month. Lisa Halomo write $30,000 and $40,000 a month. Tammy Lauther write $40,000 in a weekend. I mean, I meant that in a weekend. These guys were doing these numbers in a weekend, guys. Chris was doing $70,000 in a month. And I said I'd be the first person to write $50,000 in a weekend. Jason said he wasn't surprised because I said it. And the reason he said he wasn't surprised is because since the day he met me or Michelle, anything we said we were going to do, it happened. We backed it up. So I guess the only thing I can tell you is that the difference between me and people, you know, Michelle and I and people that may not have achieved what they want to achieve in life isn't a lack of strength. It's not a lack of knowledge. I mean, there's a lot of people that know a lot more about what we do, but it's our will. It's your will. Okay, the will to win, the will to excel are things that endure. They're qualities that are much more important than any other event that happens in your life or the events that even give rise to those things that happen to you. Okay? Vince Lombardi, I love quoting him, so I'm quoting him today because that's who I was kind of looking at last night before I went to bed. And he said, it's essential to understand that battles are primarily won in the hearts of men. Men respond to leadership in a most remarkable way, and once you have won his heart, he will follow you anywhere. You know? Guys, these are some things that I've lived by for several years, okay? The next thing that I'd like to talk about is going to be discipline. Oh, the UPS guy's here, somebody. All right, we're making money. UPS and FedEx show up. That means money has just been made. Hot dog, I love it. Discipline, guys. Discipline, discipline. If you are not disciplined in everything that you do, you are not going to be successful. Okay, I've never known anybody worth anything who in the long run, deep in his heart, didn't appreciate hard work and discipline. Something good inside of everybody on this phone that yearns for discipline. Your children fight you with discipline. My daughter this morning was at odds with her mother over discipline because her mom told her to do something that at 17 years old, she's grown, she just didn't want to do it. Okay? Guys, but deep down inside, here's what's funny, is after everything that was said and done, after all the drama, the kid still did what she was told to do. She still did everything that she needed to do because her mom told her to do it, and she has the discipline that in the long run, that even though her will wanted to do something else, she did what she was disciplined to do. Okay? You know, mental toughness is many things. It's difficult to explain. You know, its qualities are sacrifice, it's self-denial. Okay, you've got to put yourself aside if you're going to be disciplined to lead a team and disciplined to achieve things. Because, you know, I'm going to tell you, like I said, sometimes, guys, you know, it's real easy to say, you know what, there's just no way in the world that I want to go out of town this weekend. There's just no way in the world, okay? But, you know, if you combine it with discipline, if you combine self-denial and sacrifice with discipline that refuses to give in, you will be successful because it builds character. Okay, you know, I'm going to talk a second about teamwork. You know, I think that we have something real unique here in Dallas with, you know, the Fitz organization, the Simpson organization, You know, those master agencies and all the managers that, that fall underneath them, guys, and it's called teamwork. I think that, that, you know, the convention, I think it was evident at the convention that there's a lot of other groups out there that don't have the same gel that we have. That's because they don't work together as teams. They're still out there thinking, okay, we're all individual producers. We fall underneath this manager, but we're against each other. You know, we're out there. I don't want to tell you where, you know, how I do things, you know, because you might use it and you might pass me up. You know, guys, we can't be selfish like that. We've got to share of ourselves with everybody within this group, because if we do that, guys, it's only going to make us all sort of different heights. And you know, it's, you know, I had a manager one time that always used to say, a rising tide raises all the ships, you know, not just your ship. When things are getting better, things are getting stronger, success is happening, if you share that success, it's not going to sink your boat. It's going to raise your boat even higher because it's raising other boats. Individual commitment to a group effort is what it takes to make a team, and it makes team work and a company and work and our societies, our cities. It makes us better. It's what's made America the company that it's made, or the country that it's made it. You know, people hate America around the world, but they're busy breaking their necks, selling children in some countries, trying to get a visa to move here. So we must not be so bad. We've got our issues, but you know what? We're doing some things right. People want to be a part of it because they want to rise to those same levels, okay? Well, to the leaders that are out there, you guys have to believe in teamwork through participation, by leading, not just recruiting people and sitting to the wayside waiting on them to make you rich. You get out there and get in the trenches with them, okay? You guys cannot close the gap between yourself and the group. You know, you can't widen the gap. You've got to close the gap and be right there with the team, you know, with your team. You've got to walk with them. You've got to talk with them. You've got to eat with them. You've got to love on them. You've got to let them know that they're important, okay? You've got to walk like you're on a tightrope, you know, because you got to be consistent in your will to win, and you've got to control your own impulses to make sure that your team knows that you're disciplined and that you're pouring back into them and you want to see them win, okay? Winning isn't everything, guys, but winning feels good. I don't think there's anybody in this call that'll tell me that they don't like to win, that they don't like to write business, they don't like to get a new recruit, okay? I love this quote. There's a quote for you again. I firmly believe that in any man's finest hour, his greatest fulfillment to all that he holds dear is that moment when he has worked his heart out in a good cause and lies exhausted on the field of battle, victorious. Guys, I was exhausted in December, okay, when I wrote that 100,000, guys, I wrote the 50, I told Michelle, I said, we might as well go for it. We can get to 100. Paul Roberts made a goal of 100,000 last month. We still have 3 weeks to do it, and I've written 40, almost 50,000 in 3 weeks before. And guys, I'm going to tell you something. When I got to 80,000, 90,000, I was tired. I came to that meeting, and I told you guys what my numbers were. And there were a lot of people who felt let down that I was only at 93,000. Everybody's expecting me to come back in that week before Christmas and tell them I had made that 100,000. And I'm going to tell you the truth. In my mind, I was tired, guys. Three straight weeks on the road, I was tired. And I was getting ready to leave for vacation to go and see my folks with my family for Christmas. But I'm going to tell you something. I felt like I let the team down by not hitting that 100,000. So we took leads with us on vacation. We set appointments, and we got the rest of that money, not for me, but for the team. I mean, yeah, I was going to make the money. My name was going to be plastered in work because it had never been done, and it will be done again. Someone will do it. And when they do it, then I'm going to get on my horse and try to see what I have to do to write 150 just to make it fun. But, guys, I was tired, but I couldn't let you down. And I'm going to tell you something. Here's what's wild. I finished my last appointment on Monday, the day after Christmas, and had written what we knew was 100, you know, it had us at $103,000. We scrubbed those apps. We put them in the mail, and I was exhausted. And I was sick the next day. I stayed in bed the entire next day because my body and my mind knew, okay, we can shut down now. And for 24 hours, I felt like I had the flu or something, and I stayed in bed. But I laid on that battlefield, and I felt like I was victorious because I hadn't let you guys down. I'd set a new achievement, which even at 93,000, it would have been a new achievement. But everybody in the company was waiting to see this guy write 100 grand. And I wasn't going to let you guys down because I said I was going to do it. Like, I told Bruno I was going to write that 50. I told you I was going to do it, so it had to be done. Okay? So you guys have to do that, you know? And guys, I'm going to tell you something. Even if I hadn't written $100,000, I would have felt like a winner because I made the effort to get out and do it. That's where the victory is. It's in the effort. It's not in the results. It's in the effort because you have gone higher and further than you would have gone otherwise. Okay? Some of us do our jobs real well. Some of us don't. But at the end of the day, we're all going to be judged only by one thing, and that's the results. So what do you want to be judged by? What do you want to be judged by? Winning's not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. It's your mindset. You don't win once in a while. You don't do the right thing once in a while. You do them all the time. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit. It's not something that happens. It's not an event. It's not $50,000 in a weekend or $100,000 in a month. It's a habit. The bad thing is, guys, so is losing. So is not achieving. So is giving up. So many of us have given up and thrown in the towel when we are just one sale from victory, one phone call from breaking through, 1 month from just breaking out, one recruit. Guys, we brought in one recruit to our organization that tripled our organization. We, Michelle and I, put off several months bringing this person in because we wanted to be able to show them the proof. We should have contacted them 6 months ago, and we probably would have put on a ring for $500,000 each. You can't have a losing mentality, guys. You got to win every day in your mind, okay? You know, there's a lot of things that could be said about a lot of people and a lot of things, you know. There's a lot of players. I'm going to read some things to you guys that players said about Vince Lombardi. Again, guys, you know, a lot of people think football coaches are a bunch of dumb guys and people on football teams are a bunch of dumb guys that run around hitting each other. But there's some pretty intelligent people, okay? You're talking about guys that make millions of dollars a year now. Most of them make more money than the coaches, okay? And you've seen where now, you know, players today don't even have the respect and the discipline and integrity to respect their coaches. You know, but you look at, let's look before I talk about some of the things that the players said about Vince Lombardi. Look at Joe Gibbs, okay? Arguably came back into coaching 2 years ago with a team that was in a state of disarray and took them to the playoffs in 2 short years because of discipline and because he required respect from his players. And because they followed what he said, they made it where they did. And I'll tell you something, I'll be surprised if they're not one of the two contenders next year for the Super Bowl because they didn't miss it by much. But Forrest Gregg, who played for the Packers, said, when Lombardi said sit down, we didn't look for a chair. If your leader tells you to do something, if they tell you you need to get licensed in Ohio, don't ask why. Get it done. If your leader tells you you need to be at a convention that could change your life, don't look at your circumstances and say, I don't have the money. Figure out where to get the money. Because, guys, we're not going to ever tell you to do something that's going to hurt you. We're invested in you. Financially, emotionally, professionally, we are invested in you. Okay? Forrest Gregg also said he made us realize that if the mind was willing, the body can go. Willie Davis said he made you a believer. He told you what the other team was going to do, and he told you what you had to do to beat them, and he was right. Guys even said he made us all better than we thought we could be. Jerry Kramer said that. Henry Jordan said he pushed you to the end of your endurance and then beyond it. And if there was reserve there, well, he found that too. Jim Taylor said all he wanted from you was perfection. Bart Starr, one of the greatest players to play the game, said, Coach Lombardi showed me that by working hard and using my mind, I could overcome my weakness to the point that I could be one of the best. Frank Gifford, his enthusiasm, his spirit was infectious. Okay? Guys, this battle is a mental battle. It's not a battle between you and a client that wants to think about it or wants you to get something, you know, sold to them over the phone. You have to care enough about your business, yourself as a professional, not to go there. You're too valuable. Leaders, your team is too valuable. You're not the biggest person on your team. You got to remember that. You got to make time for the people that you've recruited to this business, the people that have come to you. There's a lot of people that have come to us broke. There have been people that have come to us on the verge of losing homes, losing cars, losing marriages, guys. The most important things in life. And if we don't give them the time of day, if we don't deposit into them, these people that are coming to our teams are going to lose something far greater than just a client. They may not ever tell you what's going on in their life, but you have to assume that their lives are in shambles. Let them know you love them and you care about them more than just somebody you hand some leads to and expect some applications back from. You care about them at the personal level. They're going to care about you at the professional level, and it'll show in your bank accounts. It'll show in your team's growth. It'll show in the enthusiasm and the morale. So, guys, I hope I don't sound preachy. I hope I don't. But, guys, you know, I want to just give you some insight into the way Michelle and I think, the things that we think about, the things that weave our fabric together, the things that help us go out and do what we do, still produce and raise a team. Guys, we go to sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning every morning, seems like, and we're up by probably 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock. And we look tired, it's because we are. But we're willing to make that sacrifice so we can get where we want to go. So we can leave an inheritance for our children. I'm kind of like Mark Fritz yesterday. You don't know your ancestors because they didn't leave you anything. And unfortunately, some of us know some that left us something, but it wasn't a good thing. Make a decision in your lives to leave a legacy behind where people know who Beth Preston is. People know who Jordan Brown is. So when Jason Bruno's little girl grows up, she knows that her mommy and daddy made one heck of a difference in her life. She didn't have to worry about money. She didn't even know what straining for money is. You know? So that your future children, if you don't have children yet and you're working on it, come up in an environment where they don't have to worry about the things that you've had to worry about. And if you want to have your wife homeschool them, or if you're a husband or a dad and you want to homeschool them, you have the luxury to do that. You have the luxury to take off on a weekend and go to Jamaica just because you feel like being there. Take your kids to the best restaurant in town just because you want them to know what the finer things in life are. Just like if they want a hamburger, you can go down to Burger King and have it your way. But guys, you got to make some decisions. You can't sit back, complain about your manager not calling you. You make your manager lead you. And if they don't lead you, guys, you identify somebody else and you get them to lead you. You can't switch teams. I'm not telling you to switch teams. That's not what this is about. You are where you are. But you know what? If you're not getting it, if you're not getting fed where you are, guys, get fed somewhere. You know, I've done that in my life. I've had managers that absolutely stunk, and in my mind, I fired them. And I found another manager, another leader in the companies that I was in that would lead me. They didn't benefit from me directly. They didn't make a bonus on my production. They didn't get any reward financially in any shape, form, or fashion from what I did. But I made it known that they did what they did for me so people would know that's where the recognition deserved to go. And guys, I paid it forward. If anybody on their teams came to me and asked me for help, I stopped what I was doing and I paid it forward and I poured into that person because I had a responsibility to do it. I owed it to that person that deposited into me to help me achieve my goals to pour back into their organization. And we still do that here at NAA. If anybody on fitness team comes to Michelle and I, we've had lunch with several of you. We've had phone calls with several of you. We've even gone out and had trainings with some of you and helped you train your team. So you know who you are. And I'm not saying that, you know, to make us sound good, guys. I'm saying that to let you know that we pour into other organizations as well as our own. And they have to us. we're the sum total of everything that goes on that room on Tuesdays. We have the luxury that we're with Ralph and that Ralph pours into us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm still getting emails from Ralph. He's in Whistler. Sending me pictures, motivating me. But guys, we are all the sum total of everything that goes on around us. I think that's about all I have to say right now. Michelle, you wanna add anything, put anything in here? If not, we can, Heather, if you want, we can open it up, we can take questions or whatever, but Michelle, you wanna add anything?
I'm not sure if they can hear. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can hear you. It's hard on the two lines to tell, like if both of us are on, but obviously, I think we just wanted to be able to kind of express back to everybody, because I think we all go through those ups and downs. You know, Fitz has talked about that before, and Ralph, and, you know, we all have those ups and downs in the day-to-day grind of what we do. We all have the parts of the business we love, and we all have parts of the business that we don't like. Some of us like the admin, some of us can't stand it, you know. The problem is Robert and I are so alike sometimes. We like the same thing, so nobody wants to do the other part that neither one of us like, you know. They always say it's good to have an opposite with you, but we don't happen to be that way. We both like the same things. That's getting out with the people, having fun talking to them, and forget the paperwork. But we know because that's a weakness, that's something we have to concentrate on. Or find people that can help you in that area so you get better at what you have to do. That's, you know, right away we pulled Michelle in and said, look, you like this stuff, you can handle this stuff, help us with this, you know. And we can help back in different ways. I guess the big thing to get and that I liked and enjoyed out of that conference is that, you know, when your leader, your top owners are saying it's about change. This is about change. We have to grow. We have to move on. You don't get comfortable where you're at. We're by no means comfortable where we are at. And the only way we continue to move on and stretch ourselves and make ourselves grow is to work with each other and work off of each other. And we know we are blessed to be where we are right now. We have a dynamic, like you say, group here with the Fitz Group. And we hope that everyone can look at those different values and characteristics and evaluate yourself and what you need to do to help yourself get to that next level. And that's what we hope that everybody could get out of that today, is that look at what you want to make happen, not just in writing and writing the goals, because obviously that's important, but how you really act those things out each day. I mean, I think we constantly evaluate ourselves. Okay, did I get done today everything I need to do? The only reason we're up to 3 right now is because we know we're still not quite organized or have things functioning the way we need to, but I obviously don't plan to do that for a long period of time. It's not healthy. It's not a good thing to do, but it's just what we have to do because we're not adequately where we need to be in some areas, but it's going to come together. And, you know, how do you get better? Well, you ask questions. I ask, how do you do this? How do you do that? That's where we learn. Go into those conventions. Go into those leadership meetings. Go into those things where you can pick up information on how to improve yourself, how to improve the people around you, and that's what it's about. You're not going to feel good about what you're doing if you're not being able to affect someone else and having something good happen to them. The biggest joy is being able to see the people that you care about and that we're counting on you to help them get to that next level, to make that level. I'm sure, you know, Heather and Alex, you know, expressed a couple times, and that makes us just as happy to know that they are proud of what they've been able to do in helping other people achieve those different levels and move forward. And that's what we're already looking forward to as well. We are excited to see the majority of the people that we've brought to the table all up on that stage next year. And we expect it to happen. I mean, we expect that to happen. I expect that everyone that was at that convention will be on that stage next year, without a doubt. And so how do we make that happen? We have to plan it. We have to work it. We have to figure out how to do it, not to a point that it's a negative, but to the point that everyone's excited and moving forward. So hopefully that's what we were able to convey to some extent. You know, we just want to thank everyone, because it's all part of the same team. It's all part of the same growth. This whole company is incredible. Hopefully, if anything else that people picked up is that the whole industry is looking at NAA right now. The whole insurance industry, financial industry, is looking at what is happening, and you guys are part of a basic structure right now of where this company is going, and hope that you are grasping what you can do and achieve with this company right now. So that's all, you know, I would have to add to it. We are excited. Hope that everybody can get out there, make something happen today. Today is the only day we control, or we know we're here to do anything. Hopefully, that's what you reflect on every day. When I go to bed, I want to know, was I the best mom I could be today? Was I the best person I could be today? Was I the best, you know, manager I could be, agent? Whatever your role and title is, we all have a lot of titles and hats we wear. But if you can say, yeah, I think I did the best I can, that's what makes you feel good, and you get that rest that you need, and you wake up and you start over again.
You know, I think that's a good key, guys, that Michelle just said. And one thing, you know, nobody's promised anything. None of us are promised that we're even going to be here an hour from now. I just got an email, guys, from somebody at my church requesting prayer for her boss's daughter. In her early 20s and has a 2-year-old daughter, and she's, as we speak, being rushed to the hospital for an aneurysm on her carotid artery. 20 years old, guys. That's why we do what we do, to protect that 2-year-old daughter right there, so that if something happens, somebody has a house to raise that kid in. But guys, just like Michelle said, every day when you wake up, every night when you go to sleep, you need to reflect and go, was I the best specialist that I could be? Did I get out? Did I make every phone call? Did I push as hard as I could for every single appointment so that I can make a difference in that person's life? Did I close every deal? Was I the best that I could be for my family to make sure that we have a roof over our heads? Guys, if you die tonight, if you die today, how are people going to remember you? You need to ask yourself that. You need to be intense about everything that you do and not just bounce around through life like a ball in a pinball machine. It has to be a single, definite, intense purpose about everything that you do. And I know, guys, I know I'm kind of wild and crazy. I like to have fun. You probably just found out a different side of me. Okay? I'm a very intense person. So is my wife. We have fun. We play hard. We work hard. We love our kids hard. Everything we do with a level of intensity that sometimes you may not see it, but don't take it for granted. You know, I joke around with Paul Roberts. Paul Roberts sent me an email congratulating me back in December for the 100 grand. And he said, he's still going to kick my butt. He said he may have to bring an army to do it, but he was going to do it. And I laughed and joked back with him because that's just the way Paul and I are. We love each other, guys. And we love to banter because it pushes us each to greatness. And I told him, buddy, you know what? That's cool. Bring your army. But keep in mind, Michelle and I are raising an army as well. But if you intend to kick my butt, you better get longer legs because I'm not going down that easy. So, guys, have fun with this. But remember that everything you do affects the lives of everybody else around you. That's all I have to say. That's all I have to say about that.
Well, thank you so much this morning, Robert and Michelle, for your tidbits of wisdom. And, you know, I really feel like what you guys have done this morning is just laid out how it is that you guys, how it is that you shape your attitude, the things that you think, the things that you believe in, and how that motivates you day in and day out. And, you know, maybe some people were tuning in thinking, oh, I wanted to get that phone script or I wanted to get that in-home presentation. But like we've said over and over and over again, it said at the convention that really, you know, 90% of this is attitude. It is your mindset. It's what you're expecting. And so you guys this morning really laid out nuggets of wisdom that should bring, you know, that should bring back hundredfold financially, simply because of how it alters someone's thought process and the way they think and the way they view life. So thank you so much for taking the time to do that this morning and share with the team.
Thank you for asking. As weird as I said when we started out, we're absolutely humbled by, you know, just all the attention that's been paid to us. It's kind of a weird feeling, but we're thankful to be able to give back and to thank you guys. So thank you.
Well, you guys have definitely earned all the attention with your stellar performance. So, but we just, all of you listening, we are glad you tuned in this morning. Take this, apply this, make it work for you. And, of course, don't hesitate to, like they were saying, plug into your upline manager. Let us know how we can help you succeed in this. But, you know, January is gone, but the new year is definitely in full force. You guys have probably come out of convention with large goals and things you want to accomplish, and today is the day to start those things. So make that happen today, and we look forward to catching you next week.